The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man and Lion on Manx Radio. Friday, October 3rd. It's a filthy old day today, however. We'll keep our opinions nice and warm today, then. We're open line through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Loads of questions to get through, so... It's now October and the 2025 horse tram season sorry 2026 horse tram season starts in April, marking its historic anniversary, says 004. If the government is going to put the horse trams back to the full length of the promenade, don't you think the time limit to extend the tracks to the sea terminal has run out? So does that mean no change is planned for the return of the full-length run? Or will it be that government's plan to say there's not enough time to amend it? Thank you, 004, for that. A message in also saying you were asking about recently the cheapest cup of tea on the Isle of Man. People were just talking about how much things are nowadays and where's the cheapest cup of tea. Well, lots of people have told me that there are various charity events that go on, coffee and tea mornings that go on where you can go, and there is free tea as part of the charity. However, somebody said, I remember Terry Moore. When he used to do Ringo Bingo, Terry Moore always used to tell everybody that tea was 10p inside the bingo at the Palace. I wonder if it's still 10p. Well, I don't know. Audiences at the Villa Gaiety will be asked to limit conversation during performances. It comes after some people have raised concerns over the amount of chatter during recent shows. Complaints have been made by a number of people attending various concerts, including the Paolo Nutini one at the Royal Hall. Following the event, the venue appealed for people to going to see Squeeze the following week to be considerate of both the performances and other audience members. But some commented on social media that the impact of those in the crowd talking during shows. In fact, so much so, Jason Morehouse, MHK at the Paolo Nutini gig. He raised the issue in a Timbal written question, asking the Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Mrs. Kane, what considerations being given to resolving the concerns. Mrs. Kane said the department's promoting audience awareness regarding the impact of conversations. People apparently have to be told to shut up when somebody's performing on stage. This includes they're introducing a sound recording, a message, to be played before the start of a live performance to remind those in attendance to limit their conversations. This is true. More security staff will be on duty for high-capacity events to help mitigate such instances, while the sound system will be carefully monitored for quality and safe volume levels. Daphne Kane said feedback from audience is monitored and it's hoped those planned changes will have a positive impact. Have you ever been to the Gaiety Theatre or anywhere really? It could be anywhere. It could be the Air and Arts Centre, it could be the Centenary Centre, the Gaiety or the Villa Marina, where somebody's been yapping. Or perhaps the cinema. Ever been to the cinema where somebody behind you is chatting to somebody else like they're watching television? What do you do? Are you the sort of person that will turn around and glare? Or do you just put your head down? Have you ever come across this problem? If so, what did you do about it? Were you shy and retiring? Or did you say something and add to the conversation? And why would anybody do that? Why would anybody be chatting during a performance? I mean, apart from if it's something important, you know, like... I need to. Anyway, GARF commissioners want to hear the views of residents about the Manx Utilities proposal for a sewage treatment works at Axenfeld Plantation. Now, it's a fortnight next Wednesday, so I'm giving you plenty of notice. The local authority is organising a meeting at the Working Men's Institute, 22nd of October, 7 o'clock, before the commissioners submit their own view to the planning process. They want to see residents from Laxey and Lonnon, anybody who's affected about. So what do you think of the plan that Manx Utilities to have it in Axenfell Plantation? If you're a Lonnon or Laxey resident, it is the Working Men's Institute, Laxey Institute, 22nd of October at 7 o'clock. That's a fortnight next Wednesday. We asked recently, do you remember when we were talking about the fact that some food outlets, some food retailers had been overcharging? And some of them were warned and what have you, and people have been complaining basically about being overcharged, i.e. the advertised offers don't always transfer when you purchase. Somebody suggested it may be something to do with VAT, and this came in on the answer phone.
Hi, Andy. VAT applies to all takeaways if you are over the threshold of 90,000 turnover or whatever the threshold is. All hot food is VAT-able at 20%. Cold food is not VAT-able. So anything you sell cold is not VAT-able. All food sold hot is 20% VAT-able. So all takeaways, I would imagine, are paying 20% VAT off your full order, as drinks, confectionery, chocolate bars, everything like that is all 20%, all hot food 20%.
Okay, have you checked your receipt, really? I mean, do you get a receipt? If you buy, you know, a big bag of fish and chips, do you ask for a receipt, or you just accept the, you know, whether it's a takeaway or kebab or whatever it is, a pizza, do you ever ask for a receipt? Do they ever offer a receipt? Just asking. And obviously the Office of Fair Trading have been looking at this. Some of our MHKs actually look at the situation regarding the significantly underfunded Manx Care. Oh, can some of the MHKs look at the situation before criticising the board? Theresa Cope and the Minister, Claire Christian, are doing an excellent job in bringing the underfunded operation to a satisfactory level of service. Perhaps some MHKs should resign themselves if all they can do is criticise, says Southern Andy. The perennial problem of, is it underfunded or are they spending too much? The situation regarding Manx Care. When they published their annual report this week, didn't take long for criticism to be launched at the health body. It highlighted that it had missed a number of targets.
Between the 1st of April 2024 and the 31st of March 2025, the percentage of patients receiving a diagnosis or ruling out of cancer within 28 days of referral fell below the target of 75%. Meanwhile, the percentage of patients waiting 6 weeks or more for a diagnostic test should, as per Manx Care's target, be less than 1%. Well, I sat down with Manx Care CEO Theresa Cope to find out why some of those key targets have been missed.
The cancer target, the faster diagnostic standard, it is incredibly important we work to achieve that. It replaced a number of the cancer targets, meaning and placing increased importance on being able to have a diagnosis by day 28 in order to plan treatment appropriately. And we have not been able to achieve that target consistently, primarily because of our inability to be able to recruit to a breast radiologist. So it is the issues that we've had, the challenges on the breast cancer pathway particularly, which has resulted in that performance falling below 75%. The good news is we have now recruited to a breast radiologist. They started in September. That's a substantive full-time appointment for Manx Care.
Manx Care overspent by £15.6 million in the last financial year. So will we see another big overspend in March 2026?
So our month four position is showing an overspend, and we are forecasting to overspend in this financial year. The £10 million contingency fund was set aside, and that is being allocated. And these are cost pressures that are unavoidable.
Amongst the strongest critical voices online is Onken MHK Julie Edge, who says the Manx Care board should consider resigning. So is Ms Cope considering her position?
No, I'm committed to delivering the job I do to the best of my ability and working constructively with the rest of the Manx Care board to focus on our delivery.
Theresa Cope, Chief Exec of Manx Care. And the, so you heard what she said, overspend. By March 2026, the year will be overspent. And there is also that £10 million that's been allocated. At some point, you know, we'll get to a balance of all this. And of course, remember, on one side, you've got the Department of Health and Social Care and Treasury, and then you've got Manx Care. And guess who's stuck in the middle? That's right, you, the patient, the person who's paid this money in. You've paid it to professionals to allocate money to look after the population of the Isle of Man. So how do we resolve this? How do you, we actually get round this? Because this has been going on forever. The old health board years and years ago was always going back to Tynwald for more money. And now we've got Manx Care created for us an arm's length. Now, obviously, the DHSC can say, you're spending too much. Well, if you can sort it out for a Friday afternoon, I think the whole island would appreciate it. Is it just me? Says Jenny on 496. As the number of vehicles on the Isle of Man dramatically increased, roads are in chaos everywhere. All the time, parking's a nightmare. I know the population's increased, but how long can the island cope with this? Says Jenny. Is it because the mountain roads closed? That's all I'm saying. Obviously, the mountain roads closed until, I think it's a fortnight today they're due to finish. It's due to reopen on Monday the 20th. They're doing the drainage. You heard the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward, saying they've had to take the road up to get the culverts because they're all blocked. And obviously, things have to drain on the mountain road. It's important that that happens. So with the mountain road closed, is all that traffic obviously spilling onto the Peel Road, Ballacrane and the Coast Road? Or are there far more vehicles than there used to be? Well, there are far more vehicles than there used to be. Look at any photo taken years and years ago and you'll see residential roads with no cars on them at all. And now they're absolutely choked. Have you noticed this? More cars. Definitely a big problem for the Villa Marina, says 695. Not so much the gaiter. There's some people chatting during performances. My son, who's been lucky enough to open for bigger acts at the Villa, says it's really off-putting. And well, you can understand that for the support act, even if it is rude. But even during the performers, people who've paid £35 and £40 to see, people are still chatting. So while the singer is kind of doing, you know, the little bit of spiel between songs, people just keep on chatting. Is that to be expected nowadays? Or yes, hot drinks are free at the bingo, says Jonesy. Is that true? Used to be 10p for a hot drink at the, or so Terry Moore used to tell me. Regarding the horse trams, the tracks won't be laid as DOI are including the renovation of Tramway Terrace in this business plan and costing. It's a fix to get out of the work, says 667. Well, Tramway Terrace is a, well, it's just covered in scaffolding, isn't it? It's the one they were going to knock down, wasn't it? So is it true they're putting the renovation of Tramway Terrace in with the business plan and the costing for putting the you get the feeling, don't you? I mean, there's so much obfuscation about the tram tracks. Do you think at some point somebody will actually say, we hate the idea of the trams, we wish they'd go, and that's all you're getting? Do you think anybody would ever say that? Because, well, a note in from Marilyn said, I think that's what they're saying behind closed doors. That it's never going to happen, and we'll just play it out into the long grass until people run out of time or get bored. We had people sitting in front of us at Jimmy Carr chatting constantly, getting up and down, going to the toilet every 10 minutes, disturbing everybody, having to let them past. It was a trio of teens or early 20s women. I understand if you have toilet trouble, but maybe sit on an aisle seat. But also a lot of chatter and gossiping during the show. Did you say anything? I bet you didn't, 600. I wouldn't have done. I'm a coward where that's concerned. Here's Dewan now with us. Hello, Dewan.
How are you today, Andy?
Well, we're all getting ready for Storm Amy.
Storm Amy, oh yeah, it's tracking over that way, isn't it? I think it's avoided the Florida coastline and stayed out to sea, but you're getting the other end of it over there. Yeah, just a few points on what's been mentioned this week, just quickly. I'm listening to Julian talking the other day about Earthscope and Sarah Mercer, and I was quite surprised at Michelle Hayward's point that she was not bothered in any way about it. I found it interesting that they both sit on the same standards committee, and they don't find that there's a conflict of interest there. I find that quite interesting. We'll just leave that there, I think. The roping at the Liverpool landing stage, from what I was led to believe, they found or they've issue with the roping and the way that the roping is for the docking of the Manxman, which they seemingly haven't taken into consideration. So there was quite a big estimate put in from a company in England to solve this. And I believe a party from the Isle of Man went over and found a cheaper option. But again, the point here is, when we're spending 90-odd million on this, and this problem is just arisen. You would have thought that this would have all been factored in right at the start. So I found that quite another quite interesting situation. The wind turbines as well, again, looking at the figures, and Julian's only quoting the figures from the people in the know. So 25% average on all wind farms in the UK. But the Isle of Man are saying that they're trying to quote 65% on wind over here. So again, we've got absolutely super fantastic wind, better than anyone else.
World class.
Absolutely world class, a bit like our government. And the other point, on the talking at the Villa, I've been at several shows recently there, the Rumours show, Bootleg Beatles, and I think many years ago that most of the hall used to be theatre-style seating, I think, Andy, in days gone by, where yeah. people would sit in a seat and watch the show, and theatre-style seating didn't lend itself to people talking so much. They sat there and actually listened to the show, and I think a lot of it is the culture now of rather than going to watch the show, actually going to drink and chatter, which is kind of disrespectful for the show. I mean, if I'm spending 40, 50 quid to watch a show, I want to go and watch the show. Other than that, go and listen to a DJ and drink. So it is a little bit disrespectful to the audience, and I totally get the point.
And do you think this is because obviously they open the kind of dance floor up sometimes, don't they? And so there's only seating around the edge on the ground floor. Obviously there's seating on the first floor, but if you have a dance floor full of people, it's asking a lot for them not to be talking to one another, isn't it?
Absolutely, it encourages it. That's my point. I remember many years ago, I used to have shows there 7 nights a week in the heyday, and there was never any standing. It was all theatre-style seating, so it was seated from front to back. And that encouraged people to actually sit and listen to the show more, especially a music show. So the way the culture is now, they've gone to like the seating or the standing areas that you get in the UK. So I think that encourages people to stand in groups more and drink and get engrossed in the conversation. And like you say, I noticed that at Rumours quite a few times and Beatles and a few others that was going on. So yeah, a little bit disrespectful to the audience, but again, I don't know why people want to pay £40-50 to listen to a show and then not listen to it. I don't get that one, but there you go. It's the modern culture, Andy.
There we are.
Modern
culture. All right, June. Thanks.
Good. I'll leave it at that. Take care,
Good
Andy.
To hear from you. Thanks for that. And regarding the wind farm, by the way, there is a session today at the House of Manannan in Peel from 4 till 7 o'clock tonight. The drop-in session, it was, earlier on this week. They were at Castletown and Ramsey and Douglas City Hall. Today it's the House of Manannan in Peel, 4 till 7. It's a drop-in session as part of the public consultation on Orsted's More Vanim project. That's on today. Could you tell people that the Breast Cancer Now stand, usually outside Deals, on Saturday the 4th, will be in the Strand Shopping Centre? Go and see them for everything, says Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay. We, the public, expect more and more from Manx Care. I think that Julie Edge MHK should be being supportive and not nitpicking, says Rosemary. Well, Julie Edge was saying the whole lot should resign. The whole board of Manx Care should resign because of what they're doing with the managing the finances, basically. Again, I struggle, because we don't get all the full information. We don't know the day-to-day use of finance. We don't know how it's split. You know, how much is spent on sundries, how much is spent on bedding, how much is spent on medications, how much is spent on operations, how much is spent on a day-to-day basis, I'm talking about. Patient transfer, consultancy fees, bank nurses, we don't know. We only know the overall amount, and of course, it's not enough. We don't supply enough money, because basically, if it were a business, they'd be in the red. So, this problem, I go back to the fact, the problem comes when there's not enough money. Everything is about money. Everything. So when there's not enough money, then the complaining starts, then the excuses start, then the reasons start, then the, oh, you don't understand starts. So until we get complete information, we won't know. Do you really want complete information? Would you really be happy with knowing on a day-to-day basis how much Manx Care spend? It's during the shows and during the songs, says Mike. Not just between the songs. It was very noticeable at Paolo Nottini and Jake Bugg. The people just chatting. Let's get back to the phones now. Jerry's with us now. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Andy. I'm phoning. This is not an advert for the Port Air and Jazz Festival,
okay,
but it is going ahead tonight and tomorrow, the Air and Arts Centre at the Bay and the Riddler tomorrow afternoon. And the point I'm making is one of the artists was coming over on the Manxman with all the band's equipment, but unfortunately, it's not going to sail in this weather. And the whole community, the music community that's involved locally, we've all rolled our sleeves up and we've all come up with a solution. We've managed to scrounge all the necessary instruments so they can play here. We made other arrangements for people in terms of the people who are coming on the boat. We've rearranged flights for them. People are running around to make sure it happens. And two further matters. One is, at the Jazz Festival, which is now in its fifth year, the audience don't talk and shuffle about during the performances. They're very well behaved and a very appreciative audience.
Why is that, Jerry?
I think it might be. If I was listening to Jimmy Carr, I think I'd be shuffling about and looking for the exit, frankly. Whereas if I'm listening to quality jazz, I want to sit and listen to it. That might have something to do with it. I don't know.
Would anybody dare talk when you're playing saxophone, by the way?
Yes, they usually say, where's the exit? How can I get out of here? Most of them, that's what they're... But the point is, rather than having this national obsession when things don't quite go to plan of saying it's somebody else's fault and it's all terrible, we've just rolled our sleeves. I've had a great community of spirit within the musical community and worked towards a solution rather than just sitting and sniping about everything. And I just wonder if the good example of the musical community could be sort of a good role model, a good mindset generally over here, because we've got such a lot going for us. We can sort things out, and with a little bit of effort, rather than, there's always going to be problems with Manx Care because they can't predict what's going to happen. They can't predict how many people will get ill or whatever, or what new medical advances will come through. If you're running a carrier with global warming, you're going to have weather problems. There will always be problems, but we seem to be obsessed with putting the problems ahead of finding a solution at the moment. And I wonder if it's a very good example, I think, that we're able to keep this thing going over the next 2 days, notwithstanding the stormy weather, because we just are committed to doing it and everybody's working together towards a positive solution.
Good.
Maybe we'd benefit if we did that a bit more here.
More jazz, that's what we need, Jerry, more jazz.
More. Well, we've got to get that your ex-colleague Stu Peters, who can't stand jazz, which is a travesty because he's such a gifted bass player. Maybe we can get him to He'll have nothing to do in a year or so, so maybe we'll get him interested. That'll be good, wouldn't it?
Thanks, okay. Jerry. Good to hear
anyway,
from
nice
you.
To you. Hope to see you in Port Erin tomorrow. Right. Bye-bye.
Take care now. So do you really put gifted and bass player together? Well, here's Wilf now. Hello, Wilf.
Hi, Andy. I haven't been that well for this last few weeks, but that's neither being there. That's the age bit, you know. I listen to all the Man on Lines, but I haven't been bothered going on because I've been finding them very boring lately. There's nothing that sort of really matters to me. There doesn't seem to be anybody in our government that has the courage or the brains to look ahead. You see, we've just been talking about the amount of traffic. Now then, I can go back to 50,000 people on the Isle of Man. You used to go up the mountain to test a car or a bike, turn round in the road and come down again. You wouldn't see a soul. You see a rabbit now and again, but that's beside the point. That's how it's increased. But the thing is, I'm driving along and still alongside me, and I'm cursing all the time of this idiot drivers around me. Now, and I still, there's too many cars. There's too many cars. I said, Stella, each car needs a driver. We have too many people on the Isle of Man now. Now, I said, if government would think straight, all they've got to do is count out how many kids we got in the schools that's going to, as soon as they come to 16, 17, they're going to want a car. It'll be gridlock everywhere. Take this another way. This crackpot idea of another 1,500 people, forget that completely. Just forget it. What we need to do, if we want more people, well, we've already got more people with the kids. We need more roads. If we're going to have more traffic, we need more roads. The roads are not big enough. There's not enough of them. We just can't cope. But there doesn't seem to be anybody that thinks ahead. I mean, I'm thinking ahead all the time. But I've had my time. I'm 81 now, so it doesn't matter about me. But it's not doing me hard any good cursing all these people on the road.
More roads? But, where would you put more roads, Wilf?
Well, you've got to put them over the mountains or whatever. You see, we dug the mountains to death when we put a gas pipeline in. That's equivalent to a road. All them diggers went over there. That could have been another road. There's plenty of room for roads. I mean, there is a hell of a lot of roads on the Isle of Man for its size. But at the moment now, and it's going to get worse, there isn't enough. We cannot keep loading up with cars. Can't do it. It doesn't matter if they're petrol, paraffin, or diesel, or electric. Doesn't matter. We haven't the room for them. We haven't the parking for them. We can't do it. We just can't do it. And they're increasing every day. There's new cars every day. And you go past the different places. You go through Kirkmichael, go through Balaff, all the different places. There's huge rafts of cars for sale, second-hand cars. It's just gridlock. It's going to get worse and worse. But they don't be able to see that. Now, instead of throwing millions away on stupid green talk, turn it into roads instead. And this here wind turbines that they're going to talk about now in down in Peel, I think tonight, and then I don't know if it's tomorrow night or whatever. They're going to talk in Ramsey again of it. It needs boycotting. Need stopping, because it's just absolute crazy. All the government is going to get out of this is renting bits of seabed. which destroys everything else. I went to that meeting in Laxey about a fortnight ago. I didn't say anything. I just sat and listened. And I think there were three people who were in favor of it. But there were three kids who thought they knew better than the older people. Well, I don't want to look out of my window here, because I can see the sea from here. And I don't want to see them turbines right down through Ramsey Bay. And I don't know how far they go down, but they go through Laxey, they go through Ramsey, and they're sticking them 6 mile out, which they'll be huge out there. And the only reason they're sticking them 6 mile out is because it's shallow out there. They want to put them on the bank, makes them easier for them. The bank has always been, what would you call it? It's always been a place for young fish to breed. They will destroy that completely. And I don't know that they're going to get paid for renting the seabed as one go, or is it like every year or whatever? But that's all they're going to get, because they make the electric and then they're going to send it away. And then we buy it back. I can't understand this. Well, I can understand that there's money at the back of it. You understand that. And also at the back of it is total stupidity. I can understand that. But we've had that in the government for years. But I'm sorry to go on about this, Andy.
No, it's okay. No, it's okay. In fact, Wilf, we've had several people asking after your health over the past few weeks, wondering where you've been. So I hope you're on the mend. Are you on the mend?
I'm lying in my chair with the heating on, keeping warm.
Okay, that's fine. All right, have a good weekend, Will. Thanks for being with us.
Okay.
Cheers now. The NHS, says Big Phil, 530 Big Phil, was born out of socialism. Anything born out of socialism will ultimately run out of money and fail. And Mark's with us now. It's hello, Mark.
All right, fella, how you doing?
Well, we're okay here, thanks, in the gloom and the doom.
It's not exactly the sort of weather for flip-flops at Casa de Winter this afternoon, is it?
No.
Right. So, listen, I was going to ring you up. I was trying to ring last week, but you were very busy. You were talking about prices in shops, about how they don't necessarily correlate to what you end up coughing up in a till. I'll give you a quick example of something that happened to me about a week ago. I'm not going to name the shop. All I'll say, it's in Strand Street, and it's recently been refurbished. And if you turn the name backwards, it spells Raps. But I'm not going to name the store. I went in there to buy a can of pop, and on the shelf there was a can of Ribena, fizzy Ribena, which I'm quite partial to, even though it's got like 25 bags of sugar in it. It's very nice. And on the can, it said RRP, £1. And on the shelf, it said special offer, £1. So I got to the till, and the girl says £1.50. So I said, no. I said, look at the thing on the tin. It says RRP, £1. And she said, yeah, that's a recommended retail price. She says, our bosses at Trade Distribution says we can ignore that. It's just there to put something on the label. We can really charge what we like. And they've said we're to charge £1.50. So when I pointed out that the shelf price said £1.50, the manager went over and removed the sticker from the shelf.
Oh, it said £1 on the shelf.
Sorry, £1 on the shelf. Yeah. The manager went over, removed the sticker, and said, you can't prove that now, can you? And I said, no, but I can still prove that the can says £1. And she said, yeah, but we've been told we can charge what we like. And I said, well, that's actually illegal, and it's against the law. Because if you went into a shop and saw a shirt, 30 quid, and you thought, Andy thought, oh, yeah, that's a nice Hawaiian shirt, that'll suit me. You went to the counter, and then all of a sudden the fellow says, no, that's just a recommended price. We're actually selling that for £490. You'd be a bit outraged, and you'd say, well, why put the bloody price on in the first place?
That seems weird, doesn't it? It's not very customer-friendly.
No, but
when you said about this this Office of Fair Trade, and I've got a sneaking suspicion it was me that kicked it all off, because I phoned them up and told them about that, and they did actually say, no, they cannot do that if the manufacturer has a price, that's the price. And I said, well, according to the managers at Trade Distribution, just because it says something on the tin or on the packet, that means nothing. They can override that and charge what they feel fit. So next thing you know, the trade, Office of Fair Trade are going around doing spot purchases, and they found that quite a few of these stores are actually not charging what the price on the packaging and whatever it says.
Well, you've done your civic duty.
I've done my civic duty, Andy. Of course I've done my civic duty. But then again, I just don't like being ripped off. A 50p is only 50p, but I'm not paying £1.50 for someone that clearly says a pound.
That's the point, Mark, and that is the point. It's not about 50p, which you say is neither here nor there. It's the principle of the matter.
That's absolutely right, mate. And just one more thing before I go. Normally I'm quite critical of Dewin, but today he seems to have left his tinfoil hat off, and he made a lot of sense. Today, Dewin actually made a great deal of sense, and I actually retract everything I've ever said in the past about him and his chemtrail conspiracies. The man does have a very good point, and I hope he runs for MHK, because I will vote for him.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
No problem, mate. See you later.
Good to hear from you. From Mark to Mark. Hello, Mark.
It's Mark 2 now.
It's
there
Mark
you go.
2, yes.
I was just calling, Andy, with regards to the electioneering, like what Chris Thomas has done. I saw on one of the newspapers over here stating that in December there's going to be discussion on whether they're going to resurrect the development of the gas field, or whether there should be a discussion on it. And I found it ironic that Chris Thomas, of all people, would raise that, but put that to one side. I think it's, I would just encourage all the MHKs to look at why it failed with Kroger. And that's the really key point. Because everyone can discuss it and think, oh, yes, it's great. Electioneering times has come, and maybe Chris Thomas has saw that the wind is changing and that, you know, it's not all about renewables. But there's two fundamental things that the MHKs and Tim Ward need to understand about why it failed. And one is there's no regulations in place. So basically, Tim Ward issued effectively an inoperable license. And two, and this is one of the key points, is that within the Dong Energy Agreement, or the Ørsted Agreement that is now, there is the government insisted that any future gas developer signs a cooperation agreement with Ørsted, which basically means that Ørsted has all the power in terms of dictating who is responsible for all cost consequences should the gas operator and Ørsted work in the same area. Until they get those two things sorted out, it's just hot air. So if the MHKs can look about why Kroger failed, they will identify the problems about why any future license would fail as well. And it's key, and it's too important for politicians. It's too important for politicking. It's too important for electioneering, which is what Chris Thomas is doing. It's a real opportunity for the Isle of Man.
But so, Chris Thomas would know that, Mark, because he was Minister of Infrastructure for a while.
Well, you would think that, wouldn't you? You would think that he would know all of this. And the very fact that he's raising it again, it's just pure and simple electioneering. There's no two ways about it. There is something in that Dong Energy Agreement that that is preventing and prevent future gas operators developing. Now, normally a gas operator and a wind developer can operate in the same waters quite harmoniously, and often they share costs. And the costs are dictated or arranged when they go to the North Sea Transition Authority in the UK as an impartial arbitrator, in terms of saying, okay, you will pay for these costs and you will pay for these costs. Somewhere in the Dong Agreement, there's a bias towards the Ørsted wind farm, and that will stop any future developer going ahead.
And is that the government's fault, or who did the negotiating?
I think it's probably... I think there's probably the government's fault in terms of the initial agreement that was signed with Dong Energy that put things too much in favour of the wind farm developers. And I think so, and I think everything since then has been some sort of cover-up, deflection. You remember that everyone was talking about the seismic surveys or how important they are, etc. And without the seismic surveys, we can't go ahead. Well, I know for a fact, and this is a fact, that the government went out to the consultants and the consultants came back and said, you don't have to do a 3D seismic survey to drill. So that quashed that whole environment. Yes, 3D seismic surveys are the ideal world you could do. But when you're actually doing exploratory drilling, it's quite normal not to do a 3D seismic survey. So that was a deflection. I would also encourage all MHK to look at the correspondence going backwards and forwards between the DOI and Kroger, because that will be enlightening. But it's just pure and simple electioneering. Chris Thomas is going to stand there and say, yeah, we should move forward. We should develop our national asset. But nothing's going to change. It won't matter whether a new gas developer comes in. Those two fundamental points have to be dealt with. Otherwise, you won't be able to move forward.
Okay.
And I just fear that, you know, most of the MHKs in Tim Ward are so greenwashed with this ideological renewable movement that they just simply won't probe hard enough on why the Kroger field failed.
Would it be relatively easy to renegotiate, Mark?
I don't see why not. Everything's negotiable, isn't it, Andy? Everything's negotiable. I mean, it's just a matter of parties getting, whether it's Kroger or whether it's Ørsted. It's a matter of everybody getting around the table. And ironically, Chris Thomas, I don't know if you recall, when he didn't meet with Kroger for about 8 or 9 months, despite him saying in Tim Ward that he met with them greatly. It's too big a, the prospect of the gas field in the Isle of Man is too big to ignore. And the MHKs, who are, I hate using the term woke, but they are so woke, they are so business unfriendly, and they can't sort of see that the benefit to the Isle of Man of a $2.5 billion windfall to the general population in the Isle of Man, it beggars belief, Andy. It really does.
All right. We appreciate it. Cool. Mark, thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Take care.
Good
Cheers.
To hear
Bye-bye.
From you. And 068 says, I find it bizarre anybody would pay a lot of money to see a show at the theatre and then talk through it. You're not in your own home. You're in a public space. It is rude, inconsiderate to others. It would seem these days that an element of society act like the world revolves around them, with sadly no thought for other people. Well, it apparently is the case now that at the Villa Marina, perhaps at the Gaiety, there will be a message at the start saying, shut up. Sorry, would you keep your conversation to a minimum? Now, how many people really need to be told that?
We are ready to go at B&B Furniture, with a wide range of manager specials throughout the store. If it says I'm ready to go, then it is ready to go. Priced in-store for immediate delivery and no long wait for stock to arrive onto the island. Get the furniture you're longing for with no wait, no deposit required and 0% finance available when you get ready to go at B&B Furniture. It's all here under one roof at the B&B Furniture 3-storey showroom in Snugborough.
When the ordinary just won't do, make your meal out truly iconic at the restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel. An expertly crafted menu full to the brim with delicious, freshly cooked starters, mains, sides and desserts, with daily chef specials and their famous ginger roast every Sunday. The restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel, Sulby. Open Wednesday to Saturday for evening meals and Friday to Sunday for lunch. Find us online for full seasonal opening times. Dining at the Ginger Hall. You'll want it all.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With micro-suction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic, Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
big thank you to your workmen. They've done a very good job. My property looks like new again. Thank you, EPS.
We're delighted with the house. Your employees obviously take great pride in their work.
The work was done promptly, professionally, and considerately.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with the revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Call 627191 and book now for spring and get 10% off.
A good job. Well done.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Silence, please, during performances. Didn't there used to be a sign that said that in cinemas? Silence, please, during performances. Silence, please, it's Robert. Hello, Robert.
Oh my gosh, what's that all about? Are you okay?
Oh, couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I was talking to a few friends. I was thinking about getting together and providing a bit more community support. So I was just wondering, where's the nexus of all of this? Where do we go to online to find out what community events are happening? Do we just Google it or
community
what?
Events, yeah. I think you can go to manxradio.com. We've got what's ons and everything, tell you everything that's going on. As long as people tell us,
okay,
we'll provide all
that.
So
you'll, look at that.
You'll know what's going on.
Yeah.
There's lots happening.
Sometimes you can...
Yeah, lots happening across the weekend.
Not a great deal. I haven't got a lot happening this weekend, but I imagine there will be a lot on the community.
Well, there
events
is tomorrow morning. There's every Saturday morning. There's a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous at St Andrew's Church. You've got Glenmay Chapel Craft Market on tomorrow. There's the Women's Institute at Onken at the Elim Church Hall. Southern Nomads have got a Melia at the Railway Station Hotel in Port Erin in Port St Mary, and there's an umpire night for the Poppy Appeal at Morton Hall in Castle. Town. That's all tomorrow. It's all happening tomorrow.
What's an umpire night?
Well, you know those German umpire bands where they play those big wind instruments? It's one of those. They're raising money for the Poppy Appeal.
Of course it is. It sounds great.
You'll look great with a big tuber on your knee, Robert. It'll really suit you.
I'm sure it'll work out okay. Well, anyway, it was that. And also, we did get to stage. I did go and see Ann Caller over government offices on Yom Kippur yesterday. It may have set it off slightly, and she did have the door open, which I was slightly worried about. But we talked about getting an app for Tynwald and an app for government. And I went to the political meeting last night with Labour, and they said, oh, it's already on the books. They're already doing it.
Okay.
So I don't know how that sits with you, but thinking a bit more laterally, how do you feel about an app?
An app? Oh, well, we never know, do you? If it can be
it
done,
it could be anything, couldn't it?
It could be anything.
All it right. could be a bottleneck.
All right. Hey, listen, Robert, we got to go. We're nearly out of time.
Okay.
Good
all
to
right.
hear from
Thanks
you. Have a good weekend. Thanks for that. Kaylee said you were talking a wee while ago about passports not being valid. Travellers from the UK and the Isle of Man used to be able to carry up for 9 months from an old passport. Now, EU countries won't accept passports issued more than 10 years ago. The expert from Van in Travel is Tony Lawrence.
A lot of people still think the passport is in date, you're good to go. But that at the moment is no longer the case, especially since Brexit. For most European countries, your passport must be less than 10 years old on the day you arrive, and it needs to be at least 3 months left after the day you leave. It sounds very simple, but it's caught a lot of people out.
Yeah, so it almost feels like the expiry date is null and void now, because your real expiry date is that, you know, several months pre that, isn't it now?
Yeah, it can be. It can be. In certain cases, it can be, yes.
And so I suppose how much confusion has this caused? I mean, have you seen it with you know, customers, you know, approaching you? Like, what's the general sense in the industry?
Well, it's caught a lot of people out. I mean, not just from the Isle of Man. I mean, this is a much broader spectrum, but it's caught a lot of people out. And they've arrived at the airport only to be told they can't fly. Obviously, that's just upsetting. It's also very costly, expensive, which I guess is why using somebody like us is so important, because we check all this for you.
Jumping on that, I mean, post even like COVID, have you seen more people coming back towards the industry in in terms of that peace of mind?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Very much so. COVID changed a lot of things. You know, we prior to COVID, we were always up against the internet, or people were coming, we've seen us on the internet, we've seen us on web. But ever since then, we don't seem to be getting as much of that anymore. You know, they're coming to us because they want to come to us, and we do, you know, try to do the complete service. And if you have any queries with regard to things like this, passports, etc., hopefully we're there to be able to, like, put your mind at ease.
Well, there's a man who knows of what he speaks, Tony Lawrence from Van In Travel, talking about, well, just make sure that passport is where it needs to be in terms of the date. The Sunday volunteer event for Beach Buddies moves inland this weekend. They're going to Jerby, meet at the car park at the Jerby Community Centre at 10:30. If you want to go to a beach, just across the road at Sartfield. So it looks like it's going to be okay. It's Jerby, the community centre on Sunday. Of course, you could always nip to the old guardhouse afterwards. Lovely cup of coffee there. Right, Monday, Ewan McGuinness from Ramsey Commissioners and Devon Watson, the leader of Douglas City Council, will be on looking at the future for Douglas and Ramsey. And if you want to talk to them, anything you'd like to bring up, then by all means do get in touch. Prior, email maninline@manxradio.com, call the answer phone on 682 631, or take your chance on Monday lunchtime. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phone today. Have a good weekend.
WIN.